when the devil came and deceived the woman and the man just let it happen.
Yeah.
The order was flipped.
Yeah.
He still had God, but now he had Satan, the world, woman, man.
Yeah.
And it's been all flipped ever since.
Yeah.
And the whole thing with Jesus coming back is bringing the earth and putting it back into the order. And that's what I love about these stories that you see in the Genesis and throughout whole scriptures. It's God taking what was out of order,
right,
because of sin, and connecting them back in the order that it's supposed to be. And that's what he does in our lives.
Yeah.
It's when everything's in chaos, there's the guy you can lean on to bring your chaos back into order.
Amen. You remember the old commercial with the clapper? Clap on, clap off. How old are you?
I'm 28.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, no, okay. I remember that. I remember this.
And the old lady in the bed, and she's like, the light goes on and off.
What was the movie with Ben Stiller? Where he made the snapper.
And
everybody's picking
that
on him because the clapper was already made.
I don't remember that. Yeah.
And somebody had the snapper in the house and he's just like doing this and it's not working.
That's awesome. If anybody still has the clapper, send us an email. Oh man. All right. Well, welcome everybody. Thank you for the feedback. After that last podcast dropped, we still didn't even actually market it properly. We're working towards it. We're growing. We're changing camera angles. We're doing things we need to do. So I hope that there are things that you guys are pulling out of this. Today, we're going to try and focus on a topic.
Fill us
in. Just kind of go from there.
Fill us in.
I want to hear about your Vegas trip for a little bit, though.
Vegas? Oh, I just went out there for work. Oh, we're trying to get our contractor's license in Nevada. Not trying. Now I accomplished it. We got it with the help of the Lord.
Hey, the clapper.
Yeah, right.
Good job, buddy.
But no, you had to go out there and take some tests to get the business law exam and the contractor's exam. Had to pass those before they could issue contractor's license to be able to even bid work in Nevada. So went out there for a week, took 2 days to pass the exam. It wasn't even a week. I went out for 4 days, but got to go to the Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
Just had an extra day in there. I had an extra day in there just in case I failed one to quickly reschedule and try again, but passed them. And so I went out to the Grand Canyon and the mountains in the area, and it's just amazing. I told the wife, like, when I was out there, I was like, the only thing you can say when you're at the Grand Canyon or those mountains is just, wow, God.
Really?
Wow. It was so cool.
Now, thank you for the video, but I know the video does absolutely no justice.
I'll just show on the phones, it's not great, but when I put it on the computer, you saw it on the big screen, it's pretty cool.
All right.
It's pretty cool.
We'll hook it into the TV here.
I've got it on my laptop.
That's awesome, dude. Yeah, all the times I've been to Vegas, I never left the city. And you're like, I'm going to the Grand Canyon. I'm like, how did I never
just even went to the Hoover Dam, too. That's cool, too.
Was it as big and crazy as...
This thing's massive.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just... No wonder people died building that thing.
I was just going to say how many people are buried. That's the one thing everybody says, every documentary.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, cool, man. Well, I'm glad you made it home because I know you had a... You didn't even think you'd be back. You didn't even think you'd be back today.
I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
They pushed my flights like 8 hours.
Yeah.
So I got back real early Friday morning.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you made it back. And there's been a lot of stuff going on this week. So I wish we got to film a little bit of behind the scenes stuff here, like prepping for this. It's just like prepping for a Bible study, yeah, preaching a sermon, whatever. And there was a few things on our hearts this week. And yeah, we just want to kind of get into it. You know, we were praying here for a little bit, praying for you guys, the listeners, whoever it is that your hearts are open to hear. Whatever we know the Lord's going to speak to each of us while we're sitting here too. So, awesome. So, welcome. And we're excited to get into today's topic, which I feel is creating a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety, a lot of doubt, and it's a distraction from what Jesus is doing, what God is doing behind the scenes, who Jesus is, what the blood covers, and that is all these earthquakes that we see on the news all of a sudden. They always happen, but for some reason now they're like, let's put it all in the front, and the solar eclipse.
Preceding the solar eclipse. Mm-hmm. Oh no, the world's falling apart. It's moaning and groaning.
Yes. And we're going to be right in the path of that here, I think. It's going to be total eclipse.
We're right outside the total, but it's going to be dark.
Yeah, I can't wait.
So My wife bought some of those glasses.
I did see some sitting in the house, you know.
Why not?
Yeah.
I'm going to just take them off and stare right at it.
Oh, boy. No. But I do know I've gotten a few text messages. A couple people have sent me some videos and some questions about this topic. And I'm not going to get into end time stuff. We discussed that earlier. We're not going down that road. Because to me, we're in the end times. Jesus already died on the cross. He rose again. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, waiting to come back and restore all things to new. So we're in end times.
And for Jesus to say only the Father knows?
Yeah.
Like, why do I concern myself then?
I remember Y2K? Were you old?
I was a little young yet. I was only like 5.
My kids were just asking me about this. That was my first real, like, fearful thing.
Okay.
And I was probably, what, I would have been 15?
What were they pushing?
Same stuff they push today.
Yeah.
Fear, anxiety, distraction. Like some guy created a whole computer system and forgot to add in the right date. So they're like, if I remember correctly, like, it's going to flip over to zero and everything's going to crash. It's always everything's going to crash. Yeah. You need the government to help you. No, you need to understand who you are in Jesus, and you need to understand the Bible, because he's the only one who can help you find peace and comfort and revelation in those times. And it's an election year. So as soon as this solar eclipse is done, I give it 2 weeks until there's something else major that's about to happen.
Even 2 weeks?
I think until a major national scale.
I'm quicker.
What do you think?
I don't know. But it's going to be, you know, yeah. As soon as that gets passed and everybody realizes, oh, nothing actually happened.
Yeah.
They're going to be like, oh, they're realizing nothing's happening. Here's another one.
And it's like God's like, hey, that's done. It didn't happen the way that the world's telling you it's going to happen. I'm still here. Turn to me. I'm still here. And bottom line, don't get distracted this week, because there's a lot of warfare happening. Mm-hmm. And maybe we'll talk about warfare today. That is one of my favorite topics to talk about.
It's a good one. So what are some of the things that you've been hearing?
A lot of fear, especially from the younger generation, which I can relate to that. I remember when I was a teenager and stuff started happening. Like, you're not mature enough yet in Christ to understand. You just haven't walked with the Lord enough to know how he's going to guide you through the valleys and the tough things. So it just creates a little bit more fear when you're young. But then the older you get, you realize that the older people are just as scared as the younger people. And it's like,
yeah. Yeah. And I think too, like, for us, like, we've talked about significant things happening.
Yeah.
And we've seen something. I mean, COVID was significant.
Heck yeah.
Forcefully pushed on us in some ways. But you think about our great, great grandparents, what they went through with, like, the Great Depression and the Dust Bowl. Like, they went through some stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, they survived.
Yeah.
Like, we have never experienced anything like what they went through.
No.
And yet here we are, like, we're experiencing trouble. Trouble's happening. What are we going to do? Yeah. It's like, hey, how about you just stand firm in the Lord?
It's all designed to get people to spend money, to be fearful. Like, I'm sure that there will be a shortage of napkins and toilet paper. Dude, you remember that?
It was crazy, man.
Toilet paper?
I remember being at work. I was working in front of a Target doing some concrete work and stuff. And my boss called me. And she's like, hey, since you're working in front of Target, do you mind going in there quick to see if they have toilet paper? I'm like, I'm working. Concrete setting up.
Yeah.
I can later.
Yeah.
But, like, that's where we're at right now.
I would love to know when toilet paper was invented, because what did people do before that? And we're not having a discussion about this right now, but it points to the dumb things that we let distract us from Jehovah Jireh, our provider.
Sure.
Like, we get so distracted by toilet paper. Like, the enemy is crafty. Like, the devil does not stop. He doesn't care. He doesn't need a nap. He doesn't need to take a rest. And he knows human habits.
Comfortability.
He's been there since the garden.
Yeah.
He's been studying man and woman.
He's been there from before the garden.
Since before it all.
Yeah.
He knows the ways that people are.
Yep.
So he's just, like, waiting for you to slip up and be like, oh, I am going to get fearful that this solar eclipse is going to lot. Like, no, Jesus, I trust you. I give this doubt and fear to you. I invite you into this day, Holy Spirit. How can I walk with you today, God? What do you have for me? Oh, man, you just see, it can snap you out of that depression right away.
Yeah.
That fear.
Well, we sort of talked about that last time. This, like, not being able to see what God has provided or the good things that God has given to you through the problems. Like, we can easily get distracted, to your point, of, like, all hell breaking loose around us, where we don't see the light through the end of the tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, the light's there. The light's all around you, and it's guiding you through. But all you're looking at is, instead of Jesus on the water and you're walking with him, you look away and now you're sinking.
Yeah.
Like Peter walking on water.
Yeah. It's good. Stay focused this week, people.
Yeah. Keep your eyes on Jesus.
Keep your eyes on Jesus. Get a journal out. Read your Bible. Spend time with the Lord. Tuesday was a tough day for my wife and I and our family. It was just a tough day. And you have those. Everybody does. And I'm not going to go too deep into it, but we all have times where we are experiencing some depression.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some of those thoughts creep in where you're like, well, suicidal thoughts, you know, I had some of that creeping in, which I haven't had suicidal thoughts in so many years. So, I'm at a place now where the enemy tries to bring things at me, I can recognize his arrows a lot quicker.
Yeah.
Suicide, depression, doubt, fear, worry, anxiety, jealousy, envy, unforgiveness, bitterness, certain types of anger, gossip, slander. Like, there's areas where I can see, okay, that's the enemy right now. And I'm giving him room to work through me and use my voice because I'm giving into this, or I'm taking the bait.
Yeah.
I'm getting offended, whatever it could be. And so Tuesday was one of those days where it's like, this onslaught of just all these categories. I'm like, just stopped in my truck. I was praying. I'm like, you know, here's a quick prayer for any of you that experience warfare. This prayer was taught to me years ago. It works. It helps. That suicide stuff came in and I'm like, no, Satan, get out of here. Like, I bring the full authority of Jesus, the power of the cross and the blood of Jesus Christ over my mind, heart, soul, and will today, right now. I bind you to the cross for judgment. Matthew 16:18, I believe, is that scripture. I bind you to the cross for judgment. Holy Spirit, I invite you in to this area right now. I invite you into this moment right now. Holy Spirit, show me the truth. Invite the Holy Spirit in. And you will notice that in your mind, in the quietness of your mind, your spirit will start speaking to you. So for me in that moment, it was suicidal stuff, like do this to kill yourself. Very quickly, I just started praying, and the Holy Spirit's just in there, just like, it's at that one song, Trust God, Trust in God.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't listened to that song. Well, I've listened to it a lot since that moment, but it just started playing on repeat, and I'm like, oh my gosh, yes, Holy Spirit, I trust in you, God, I trust in you, God. It was just so quiet. And I think we think God is this, like, in your face, loud, and here he is. Like, he's not like that all the time. He can sometimes, be that.
Sometimes he's a gentle whisper.
Sometimes he's just focus.
Sometimes he's just little nudges.
Yeah. Have you had any of those lately?
Oh, that's a good question. They happen in weird ways for me. Not as often as I know, like, my wife, man. She's like very in tune,
mm-hmm.
and like spends a lot of time really focused in, and she gets nudges and just being able to speak to the Lord and stuff. And it's always encouraging to hear. I get a lot more of nudging and directives when I'm reading scripture.
Yeah.
For me, usually it's like a conversation will happen or things will take place or somebody will, you know, have something they want to talk about. Just things going on in their lives. Yeah. And then as I'm just reading through scripture, sometimes just something pops up and like, whoa. Like that sticks out.
Yeah.
And then it's like, hey, I can send this to a guy, talk to you. Let's talk about this for a second.
Mm-hmm.
What's the context? How did it apply? And how does it apply today? And that's what I see a lot in my life being used for, because just scripture for me is awesome.
Yeah.
There has been a couple times where just the supernatural side of things take place and you're just like, that's crazy.
Have you ever heard the voice of the Lord audibly yet?
Audibly? Not audibly. But I've had like visuals that were like, this one time I was like, I felt like I was screamed at to fast. And I didn't know why, but I was driving to work and literally like, I just blinked and the word fast just like blew up in my face. And I was just like, what was that? And I didn't eat anything yet. So I was like, okay, okay.
Faster.
No. I knew what it meant.
Yeah.
And we'll come to find out later that my mom went to the hospital for something. I had no clue that she was going there. And I ended up fasting and just like praying, like, whatever's going on, God, like, I don't know. I don't know what this is about.
It's not crazy when you know.
Yeah.
Like, you knew that was God. Like, whoa, fast. Like, the Holy Spirit brought it. God brought it, and immediately you knew.
Yeah.
I don't think, if it's God, he doesn't leave you confused.
No. And that's the biggest thing I try to clear with people, too. It's like, God's not a confusing person.
No.
He brings order to chaos.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, if you're being confused by something, you're not getting the whole full picture, or it's the enemy.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. So how long did you fast? Was it just for a little bit, a day, a week? Like,
no, it was just that day up until dinner time.
Awesome. And then
I found out what happened. I was like, oh, I get it.
Yeah.
That all makes sense. But yeah, it was immediately like, I knew it was like, I need to fast. And then probably around 1 o'clock, I think I got a text from my wife saying, oh, your mom's in the hospital, by the way. She's just getting some stuff checked up.
How did that teach you about intercession?
Hmm.
You know, like when God puts somebody or something on your heart as an intercession angle. Or maybe it hasn't yet, but.
Well, no, I mean, I think it more just bolstered the sense of intercession. Because I've always fully believed in intercessory prayer and stuff. I'm always like praying for people. We've had quite a few opportunities too at church when like significant things are happening with people where we open up the church. And like for every half hour block, like somebody sign up and we'll just go in there and pray for this person. So all day long, you're having a continual prayer.
It works.
It's cool. And it's had significant things happen in our church.
Yeah.
For that. So
I think people miss the, when you're going through something yourself and it's heavy and, or with family or with business or your job, like whenever you're going through a very tough time, for me, what I've learned is interceding and serving other people in those times is one of the weapons you can wield to push the enemy back in your life, because he doesn't expect you to do it, especially if you normally don't.
Yeah.
So if warfare is coming at you, if doubt, if fear, if you're concerned about your finances, if you're concerned about the relationship with your spouse or your kids or your family or your business is in a season of expansion, but it looks like it's drought, you start helping other people, the warfare gets pushed back. And the enemy's like, he can't fight against love, forgiveness, the blood, praise, worship, intercession.
Yeah.
And in those times where you're in the valley, it's the best time to lean into the Lord, because he's, for me, he's put other people on my heart to take my focus off of the warfare.
Yeah.
So it's twofold. For me, in my opinion.
Can we get too focused on the bad things?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think there's so many times where like we can focus on our anxieties, focus on our problems, and it just drags us deeper into the hole.
Heck yeah.
Where God's like, why are you focusing there?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I delivered you out of that.
And he's always giving you a way out.
Right.
Every time. Just turn to me.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I find it funny because I follow a lot of people on either the Presbyterian side, Calvinist, and also a lot of Pentecostal and those other side movements and stuff. And like when I look at them, I see one group who goes, all right, it's my duty as a believer and a Christian to discipline myself in a way that my focus is solely on the Lord, which is good, but it's so much focused on, I have to do this.
Right.
I have to put up barricades. I have to do, you know, X, Y, and Z so that my focus is always on the Lord.
Yeah.
And then the other side is always like, all these things are happening to me all the time. I got to, you know, bring the Spirit into my situation, and this is all falling apart unless I bring the Spirit. And I'm like, bring it together.
Yeah.
Like, how does it all work together?
You know, God's in all of it. He's there just waiting for you to turn and be like, I need your help right now.
Yeah.
And he's trying to get you to calm down and just slow down and just let his Spirit speak to you. Mm. So we head down to a prayer ministry last night with the kids. and took a bunch of friends down there. We all met down there, and it was good. And we got in there, and this woman was playing music, just worship music, and just kind of you make your own space and just go be in the presence of the Lord.
Yeah.
If you don't know how to be in the presence of the Lord, or you don't know what that means, I would encourage you to find a house of prayer somewhere, a church that has good prayer programs, and go in and start getting involved. Just go. Because once you figure out the presence of the Lord and how you can get there quickly, it will change a lot of things for you. Hmm. And you will see him move quickly in situations. So, side note. We're down there, and just kind of praying. I had my Bible sitting there and a journal, and I was just kind of writing down some things. And I just, Ezekiel 37. Now, that doesn't happen to me normally.
Yeah.
So I'm like, interesting. All right, Ezekiel 37. So I open up my Bible and I go right to Ezekiel 33 and read about the watchman, which is a really cool chapter of the Bible. If you, if you're called to being a watchman, go read that. So then, of course, I don't read Ezekiel 37. I go and we're just kind of praying and doing some stuff and worshiping, and friends of ours showed up who we didn't know were going to be there. And I went over later and sat beside him, and he had his Bible open to Ezekiel 37.
Hmm.
And I'm like, oh, that's awesome, dude. You're reading that too. I didn't actually read it. So when I got home, I'm like, twice tonight, Ezekiel 37. I better go read that. I forgot to read it. So for this one, after I read through it a couple times, I went to the Passion Translation. In a season of a valley, this week, kind of hit a low of lows. And right here, the Valley of Dry Bones. Yahweh's powerful presence was upon me, and his spirit lifted me up and carried me away. He set me down in the middle of a valley. Now, you flip over to Isaiah 22, you don't have to do that. It talks about the valley that he was in, which is the Valley of Vision. The Valley of Vision is where Ezekiel saw the glory of Yahweh. So you can go read Ezekiel 37 yourself. I'm not going to give you all the answers because the Holy Spirit may speak something different to you. And if it's for you, he will show you.
Yeah.
So that's for our listeners. But here's what I pulled from that. One, even though God told me to go read Ezekiel 37, and I didn't, he gave me another, there it is again. Now it is again. So he got me. And eventually I realized, oh, shoot, I need to go read this. And it tied together this whole week for me. And then I had multiple phone calls this week, multiple text messages, conversations with people about everyone's kind of feeling like they're in a valley right now.
Hmm.
You know, there's some warfare going on right now this week. It's real. And people are arming themselves and fighting back spiritually. The Valley of Vision. It means the Valley of Revelation.
Okay.
So the Spirit of God takes Ezekiel into the valley of vision, and all the dry bones are there. When you're in the valley, there are so many different types of valleys. There's the Kishon Valley, which is an awesome topic we'll cover someday. Had a whole season on that. But this valley was a different valley. I had known this week, after all of the warfare with the doubt, the suicide, all the stuff the enemy tried to use against me in other seasons, and I'm kind of like, you can't touch it anymore. I'm like, I'm dealing with different principalities right now.
Hmm.
This is a different type of warfare. And it's not scary stuff. Like, it's just, when you know how to bring the blood of Jesus and the authority of Jesus over your life and over situations, it has to go. Like, you can stop it quickly. And I had felt, I'm like, there's something different about this battle. Well, it's a different valley. It's the Valley of Vision. So in that valley is all the what? Dry bones.
Yeah.
All over the place. And God takes Ezekiel through this awesome process, just like he does with us, where when we're in like the depths of it, we're in the valley, it's heavy, our family needs help, our marriage needs help, our finances need help, whatever it is, he wants to give you the revelation and guide you out of that valley. That's what he does. He doesn't just leave you there and be like, well, you need to suffer for a little bit. That's not God.
Right.
What he wants you to do is turn to him so he can glorify himself to lead you out of the valley and give you the revelation. This particular valley, all the pieces are there for life to come back. So he teaches Ezekiel how to take authority and command the bones to come back together, and the ligaments come together, and they're wrapped in skin, and then breathe life. The Holy Spirit, breathe life onto this situation. And when you're in a dark season, if you can get in the presence of the Lord, that's your goal this week. Figure out how to get in the presence of the Lord. This furlough, I know you understand it. But figure out what that means.
Yeah.
How does God speak to you? For you, it was visions. For me, it's a little bit different. And get in the Bible. Just go read what he's telling you to read. Because in that valley, Ephesians 1:17, the spirit of revelation does come. And when you seek him, he will come near to you. Draw near to me and I will draw near to you. And he just started realigning so many things for Lindsay and I in this season, the way that he originally intended it.
Okay.
And most people don't want to shake things up and get back into alignment with God. But that's all he wants to do, is get you into alignment with his purpose for your life.
Order.
Order, yeah. Exactly. And it just taught me, I'm like, wait a minute. Okay, the Valley of Revelation, God, you did. I sought you. I sought the Holy Spirit. You gave me all of the pieces that I've been waiting for. Oh, but I haven't declared and commanded and taken authority over the pieces. They're all here, but they're not coming together. So if you feel like in your life, you're like, man, I've been sowing seeds. This is going to tie in so nice to the five loaves. This is working out awesome, dude. I'm actually putting it together myself right now. When all the pieces are there and you know it, you knew it was fast.
Yep.
You need to fast right now. You just knew. You know when God's putting things together. You just know it.
Yep.
But he requires you to do some work.
For sure.
Take authority. Command them what to do in my name. Invite me into the process. I put it all here, but you might have just been missing that you need me to snap it all together, because I breathe life on it. And I want to use your voice, and I want to use Christ in you to breathe life into those areas and those situations, because I want the glory.
Yeah.
And it's just, I shared that with a few guys, and it really spoke to them as well, is start taking authority. Learning how to walk as a king and a queen, a son and a daughter. Oh, man, do we want to go down this road?
Not yet. Not today.
Yeah, because I can get pretty ticked off at the devil.
To keep it back on that sense of going through the valley, though, it sort of sheds a light on that idea that you see Paul talk about, and I'm not exactly sure where it is, but in my weakness, God is strong.
When I'm weak, he is strong.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's not always a sense where, like, God's not just putting you in here to prove a point. In some cases, he might be, but he's not just putting you in this place to beat you down.
Yeah.
It's so you can be built up.
Yeah.
And be put back in an order. And that's like, I always tell the story, which I heard from a mentor of mine from back in the day, but it's like the whole idea of the fall. God created things in order, right? It was God, man, woman, creation. And then the devil was down here doing his thing, screwing up after the fact, you know, all that stuff happened. When the devil came and deceived the woman and the man just let it happen.
Yeah.
The order was flipped.
Yeah.
You still had God, but now you had Satan, the world, woman, man.
Yeah.
And it's been all flipped ever since.
Yeah.
And the whole thing with Jesus coming back is bringing the earth and putting it back into the order. And that's what I love about these stories that you see in the Genesis and throughout whole scriptures. It's God taking what was out of order,
right,
because of sin, and connecting them back in the order that it's supposed to be. And that's what he does in our lives.
Yeah.
It's when everything's in chaos, there's the guy you can lean on to bring your chaos back into order.
Amen.
It's, yeah.
There's an interesting thing that happens there in marriages. Lindsay and I have gone through this. It was tough, because for probably Lindsay and I have been together, it's just been me and her ever since we've known each other since we were 14. We've been dating since we were 16, married young, kids young. So it's just been her and I pretty much our whole life. And she led our family. I mean, even pre-marriage at 18, all the way through to, I'm 39 now, so probably about 35. She just led everything, because I just didn't care to lead. I pretended I was,
right?
Like every guy does. And there's going to be some guys listening to this that are going to know exactly what I'm talking about. Don't feel guilty. Don't feel shame. Don't feel like you dropped the ball, because now you know.
Time to grow, buddy.
It's time to grow, but you can get back into the place that you need to be.
Yes.
Because if you don't, the enemy is going to destroy your family.
Yes.
he's going to have a freaking heyday with your kids.
Yeah.
And he's going to take your wife and destroy her and lead her down a dark road because you're not taking authority in your home. And when Lindsay and I, she had been waiting for me to do it. That's a battle in itself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, women are so much stronger than men, dude. They really are. in specific areas. When I finally started trying to do it was when she had finally had enough of me not doing it.
Mm.
And she was here. Now I start growing in who I am and understanding my identity. And I start cleaning up my life. I start cleaning up the things around me that are distracting. I start getting in order. The first thing you have to do is understand who you are in Christ.
Yeah.
That's step number one, because without him, you aren't going to get it right.
Right.
And then he starts taking you on the journey of fixing your mind, fixing your heart. And when you start coming up, I'm going to do this at the camera. When you start coming up, you're going to cross with your wife. There's going to be a path where you're going to come up to the authority that you need to be, and she's got to come down to the submissive place that she needs to be in. That can be a rough year in a marriage. It was a rough year.
Yeah.
And I cleaned everybody out of my life.
Speak
because
truth.
This is the only thing that matters.
Yes.
If Christ is not at the center of my home like he is supposed to be, I think he is, but he wasn't. And when I realized he actually wasn't, nothing else in the world mattered. Because if that's not right, we don't have a life fulfilled for him. And it took a while. Oh, man. And to be quite frank with you, like even now that we have it like this, what happens is when the man gets into submission to the Lord and submission to Christ and gets in his proper authority, and the wife gets into where she is, you now actually become the one flesh you were created to be.
Right. 100%.
And your kids, if you have kids, they get healed, and something happens with your kids when that happens. Something happens where the problems with your kids, the attack on your kids, the suicide, the anxiety, the depression, the alcoholism, the addiction stuff, like something happens in your family line where God's working there too.
Oh, yeah.
Like when you get here as the man, 100%. He somehow aligns it all at the same time. I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah. No, and I know people struggle talking about it, that Ephesians 5 chapter, which all talks about man submitting to Christ, woman submits to man.
Yeah, that's where it is, yeah.
It's a tough chapter for a lot of people because I think we talked about it a little bit last week where men don't like to speak up a whole lot, especially in their small groups or just in your marriage in general. The thing, it doesn't make me angry, but I laugh and chuckle at it when I hear people jump up and they're like, my wife, she wears the pants. She runs the household. It's like, I get what you're saying and joking, but...
You don't want to be agreeing with that, man.
Do not. That is not the point.
The enemy is messing with you, dude.
Right. And to see, like, I can only imagine what that we didn't have too much of a transition when it came to my wife and I. We definitely had some power struggles there for a little bit.
That's because you're a power lifter.
Yeah, right. But just seeing the way that in Ephesians 5, it's listed out before anything's told about you as a man and her as a woman, It says you're going to do these things out of submission to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first focus, is you're going to submit because you first submit to Christ. And I want to actually get the passage up because I don't want to
misspeak. Yeah, I want to hear it.
It says Ephesians 5:21, the very first verse in this section says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ.
Oh, man.
Because you love...
Hard to do.
Because you love Christ.
Yeah.
Buddy, you're supposed to lead your household. Wife, you're supposed to submit to your husband.
Uh-huh.
It's easy for us to go, well, I'll submit to my husband when he earns it, when he steps up.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying, but God says something different.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, man, you know, like this is going to go a lot easier for you as a man if you step up. Not, well, she doesn't cook dinner every night. She doesn't do the dishes.
Yeah.
You know, by the way, Jesus sacrificed his life for you. You can sacrifice your pride and go do some dishes too.
Yeah.
You know, it all plays together.
Lindsay and I woke up this morning. I guess we're talking about this. I'm going to be real raw, and I don't have a problem putting my heart out there. Because this submission thing.
Mm-hmm.
So for one full year, Lindsay submitted to me totally. Mm. She trusted what I was hearing from the Lord. She trusted my time in the prayer room. Like, you don't get in the presence of the Lord. Like, the Lord searches the earth to and fro. He's looking for the people that want to spend time with him and hear his voice. He's not looking for the people that are just like, well, I'll wait around till you're ready to go. He's like, seek me. Let's go partner in this thing. Yeah. And I do that. And Lindsay submitted to that. Even though her discernment in a lot of things was no. Lindsay has incredible discernment. You know that about my wife. Yeah. And she let me grow this year in that. And this morning we were just talking about this topic. How does man submit to Christ? Yep. So when the wife sees the man actually doing that, when your wife sees you seeking God men's groups, you're going to church, you're hungry for more of him, you're in the prayer room, you're praying with her, you're praying with your kids, like, believe me, two things are going to happen. Number one, your wife is going to respect you because that's what you really want.
Right.
And number two, she's going to want to be intimate with you. And that's what you really want. And it's going to change things for you. So maybe we'll do a whole thing on intimacy and the attack on that, but I'm not going to go down that road. But man, if that's what you're looking for, because that's what you're looking for, validation from her, you just got to go about it the right way.
Yeah.
Because her soul knows what she needs.
Right.
So back to the submission thing. So she submitted just whatever he says, as long as he's spending time with the Lord, I will submit to whatever he says, even though she's spending time with the Lord.
Yeah.
She's in the prayer room 8, 10, 12 hours a week. She's doing just as much time in the Lord's presence as I am. And you got to learn how now to be the one flesh.
Yeah.
Because she's got gifts that I don't have. I don't know how it is for most people, but for Lindsay and I, my gifts and my calling, let me rephrase it this way. My gift in the fivefold and my gifts in the spirit are different than hers.
Sure.
Like, now I'm like, of course God would do that. Because now we're like 1-2 punch.
Right.
If we both had the same gift, like it might not carry the impact that God wanted us to have as one flesh.
Sure.
And right now we're learning, now that the alignment is correct, Christ, me, her, our children, then the body of Christ, and so on and so forth. Me actually submitting to her gifts. Because she's gifted in areas that I'm not.
And yeah, it's not like whatever your wife says, just kick it to the side.
No.
You're together in this.
And I wasn't that bad. There were seasons where I was, but in this season I wasn't. But I wasn't really asking the Lord, okay, Lord, you put this on my heart and seek my wife. Hey, take this to the Lord.
Yeah.
What's he telling you? We're one flesh, united in Christ. He's speaking to both of us. And he started this journey with one day, I just felt that we should give a specific amount of money to a specific organization. And I'm like, all right, Lord, don't have it. So that number can't be real. And I didn't tell anybody. I knew the specific number and I knew we didn't have it in our bank account.
Yeah.
And about 3 days later, my wife and I are walking the loop back here and we come around. And we're walking up through and she goes, we're supposed to sell a specific something and give all that money to this specific place. And I'm like, oh, what did you just say? She's like, we're supposed to sell something and we're supposed to give the money to this specific place. And I'm like, yes, we are. Because I can get the exact amount of money for that the Lord told me. Yeah. So here's what I learned through this was, especially when it comes to giving, you're one flesh.
Yeah.
Don't just go give 25 grand somewhere because we're supposed to give 25 grand. That's not what we gave, but whatever, $500. You have a wife who's one flesh. Ask her to pray because maybe the Lord put it on her heart. Supposed to give $900 and we're supposed to give it here. Like, so I ended up selling this thing. I put it up for a more of a price than it was the Lord asked me to give because it was worth that. When the person came to buy it, we went through the whole thing. How much cash do you think they pulled out of their pocket?
Exactly.
The exact amount. And I'm like, oh God, you're so good. So yeah, just learning to walk in the authority as I've been given in Christ in my home, walk as a king. Now I got to command things in my family. Get off my kids, suicide. I'm not fighting with my wife, Satan. Get the frick out of my house.
Yeah.
We might have had to edit out a word there. I can get really ticked off at the devil when I see him coming. And walking in that authority and then also inviting my wife into the journey. You don't want to be the man that runs the show for your family. You want to be the man that partners with your wife so that if something happens to you, she can continue the legacy and the things that God started. So
it's good.
Hopefully that made sense.
No, it does. And I think too, like there's roles that have been given too. Mm-hmm. And it's not as simple as going, you stay in your lane, I stay in my lane, and we never cross paths.
Yeah.
I don't think that's healthy. But like when we look in my friend, who I plan on having on at some point, we had a good talk about stuff like this, and he brought up the image of what Jesus is doing since he went to the Father and how he is creating a place for us.
Right.
And we as men are, as we talked about last week, have been giving a domain that we are to create a place for our family.
Yeah.
And the family is to thrive together. Mm-hmm. And that's what Jesus is doing in him. So when you look at all these pictures being painted for us, it's like, I'm trying to mimic Christ in the sense that he's in heaven creating a place for us so that we can come to the new heaven and new earth later.
Yeah.
And we're here now creating a place for my family. And my wife's going to walk alongside that. She's going to have her roles in that. She's going to do great things with that. I couldn't do it by myself. That's why there's two of us. And I think it's cool when you look at it that way and you have this order that's given in Scripture. And when we try to mimic that order,
yeah,
nothing's impossible.
Bring up Galatians 5:19-25. Because, I wasn't planning on any of this. This is good. Because my heart goes out to the men who want to lead, but they don't know how to do it.
Sure.
And my heart goes out to the women who want their husband to lead. That was the most painful thing about running boot camps, was when a woman would come up and be like, how do I get my husband to go to this thing? I see these women would see the fruit of the men that were there, and they want it so bad. And they're like, something has to snap my husband. He's a good guy and he wants it, but he's hurt.
Yeah.
That always just hit me in my heart. And I just tell the women, like, just sign him up. And some of them would. And there would be fruit from that. So my heart goes out to the women and the kids that are looking up to their dad, and the man in the house just is so deflated and beat up from just everything coming on him and carrying the weight of the world. And the enemy's goal is to do just that to you, to crush you, so you don't start doing the things you're supposed to do.
You're carrying the wrong yoke.
100%. And they don't even know it.
Yeah.
Guilty. I did it for 19 years.
Yeah.
And the biggest thing that changed that for me, one, was my heart posture. Two, I was hungry. Three, a lot of people prayed for me. I can't wait to get to heaven and just God's be like, one of these people was praying for you. And even now I know people are praying for me and it's working. So if you're praying for me, continue to pray. Pray over this podcast, please. There's been a lot of warfare around this thing. Changing your circle.
Mm.
I mean, you hear it all the time. You're the average of the five people you hang out with. You got to change it. You got to yada, yada, hang out with these people. And then I'm like, but who? Who do I hang out with, God?
Yeah.
Who am I not being the person that I need to be so that I can be an influence on their life?
Yeah.
In comes Galatians 5:19.
Let's read it.
Just read the first part about the flesh.
Okay. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery. Idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God.
So who should we not be hanging out with?
People that are
walking in the flesh.
Right.
Because we're supposed to be walking in the Spirit.
Yeah.
Christ in us. We're supposed to be walking in the life that Christ gives us in the Holy Spirit. So read the next part, because it talks about how you can identify somebody who's walking in the Spirit.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Mm-hmm. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other.
So here we have the battle. The flesh and the Spirit, Christ in us, and the flesh, constantly battling and warring.
Yeah.
And when I started my journey to becoming wholehearted, some healing, getting my life right with the Lord, getting into alignment with Him, immediately the first thing He does is take you through the flesh. That's where He starts. Galatians 5, 19 to 21. Read the NLT version. Read different versions. You don't need to read it now, but for the listeners, read different versions of that.
If you're really good, go read the Greek.
Oh, boy. Yeah. I'm not there yet. I do like to do the Hebrew and Greek words, but so the first thing he's going to do is clean up the flesh stuff that you got going on.
Yeah.
And then as you do that, the Holy Spirit starts filling those spaces. So as you get rid of sexual immorality, the Spirit brings in a fruit of the Spirit to replace that. And now you start walking in, instead of lust, you start walking in love.
Well, that's repentance.
Yeah.
Is it not? It's realizing this is who I am without God. This is where I'm at. Like, God, you are now revealing to me as a person that my works are filthy rags.
Yeah.
The person that I am right now is not good, nor can I ever be good without you.
Amen, brother.
And then there's that transition. It's like, I repent from those things. I turn away, meaning I'm going to do a 180. All that stuff I used to be a part of, I'm going the other direction now.
Yeah.
And I'm going to focus on the good things.
Yeah. And then you start seeing that fruit coming up in your life. And you're like, oh, I actually don't lust after money. Like, everyone's like, lust, women. Like, yes, that's the basic warfare for men. If you're struggling with pornography, believe me, you can conquer it. That was a 23-year battle for me. Mm. And now I'm like, that's the number one weapon of the enemy for men because it can literally feel like a mountain.
It'll chain you up.
Chain you up and just keep you in real shame, real guilt, real hiddenness.
Yo, you'll hide yourself from everything.
Yep.
You'll never want to open up.
I remember the day that Lindsay found out.
Mm.
Oh, man. People are going to be listening to this. I share this a lot, but once you start putting it out there publicly, it's like, oh, boy, my family's going to hear it now.
Well, let's before, because you and I are probably going to have a similar story when it comes to pornography, because that's going to be a part of my testimony that I share.
Should we wait till then?
We can give little hints.
All right, we'll do a little teaser.
What I've been telling people now is like, look, that's the person I used to be. Mm-hmm. I don't try to hide that.
No.
Because if I try to hide that, then it seems like if somebody finds out, what are they going to think of me?
Right.
I don't want people to realize my past.
Like, while they're doing it at the same time. Guess what?
This is who I was, and this is who I am now. And I think it's good not to dwell on our past and who we are or who we were, because it'll hold you back, but to realize, like, that's who I was.
Mm-hmm.
I was lusting a lot.
Yeah.
And I had fears. I had issues. I had things that were just holding me back. And when finally Jesus delivered me from that and said, all right, you're going to have a new slate now. Literally for me, it was like an overnight thing.
Good for you.
It was so cool. And we'll dig into that. But it was just this point of freedom.
Yeah.
Where you woke up the next day and I'm like, I don't have no desire for that.
Yeah.
And it was cool.
We're going to cover that in the next one. We're going to do that testimony in the pornography topic. So you'll have to listen in if you struggle with pornography, men and women.
Yeah.
We don't ever talk about the women that struggle with it, and they're out there.
Dude, but I mean, statistically, I think the percentage is over 80% now of men in the church struggle with pornography.
Dude, once you get free from it, you can peg it right away. You can't, because you know the signs.
Yeah.
Oh man, we're not going down this road, but we're going to talk about it. So we'll get back to what we're talking about here. Changing your circle. Who do you hang out with? How do I walk in this fruits of the Spirit? Well, God starts dealing with the flesh. And now you start analyzing the people around you. The Bible does talk about who we should and shouldn't hang out with.
Yeah.
Not in a judging way. We're called to judge. It's okay to judge people's behavior. We do not judge their character.
Hmm.
I've done that. I've judged people's character. It's a sin. You don't do that.
Hmm.
But you can judge their behavior. So if you tell me that you don't struggle with pornography and you're free, but then I see you looking at things on your phone because somehow I just see it, I have 100% responsibility
to
come to you.
Right.
In a, not a condemning way, but in a, hey, dude, you're slipping up.
Yeah.
That's my job.
And we should not be offended when our brothers say something to us.
And I've had people do this in my life and it has helped me.
Yes.
But they've done it in a way. When you start doing it, you can condemn. You just don't know how to do it, so you just do it because you're like, no, you don't need to do that. But when you learn how to do it tactfully, you can really set people free.
Yeah.
And having those people around you that have permission to speak into your life, you need that because you're not that great. You need people around you. So Galatians 5:19 to 21, I believe, talks about walking in the flesh. If there are people around you walking in those things, you need to analyze that relationship. If somebody is actively in sexual sin,
yeah,
and you're like, oh, I think it's okay, just so you know, it will stop you from walking in the fruits of the Spirit.
Yeah.
And you need to put those people aside. There's different types of love. Well, that's not love. No, I love you enough. Let me rephrase that. For me, it was, I love my wife more than I love you.
Yes.
I love Jesus and want him at the center of my family more than I love you. I choose Christ in my family and fixing all of this more than I choose anybody.
Yeah, for sure.
And most men walk through this right now. I hear it all the time. So-and-so is treating my wife wrong. So-and-so is with my kids, this coach, this, that. Then you need to tell that coach,
yeah,
here's the boundary, dude.
Yeah.
This is my child, and you're not raising them.
Right.
I am. You have to fight for the purity of your family.
Yep.
And that is a battle, and that is going to bring a lot with it. But it's worth it. It's totally worth it.
And when your family sees you as the man, stand up for yourself, mm-hmm, for your family.
Oh, baby, we can get into the intimacy side of that then.
Dad's protector?
Yeah.
Dad actually cares about what's going on in my life?
Yeah.
More than you know, honey.
And then they come to you for prayer. They don't go to the youth counselor for prayer.
Right.
Not that that's a bad thing, but they should be coming to the authority in the home first.
But the order in the home is falling in line and is doing what it's supposed to do. Go ahead.
No.
I said my thing, too. I literally was sitting in church last Sunday, and because we were talking just about Christ and what he's done for the world and the order that brings. And I was just sitting there thinking, I was like, what would it look like? Because we're always like trying to be evangelists.
Yeah.
You know, we're trying to tell people about Jesus, bring them in, do all that. Good. Great. What would it look like, though, if every single man in your church stepped up and became the man they were supposed to be and made their family do a 180?
Yeah.
And followed the Lord with all their heart and led with all their heart. What would that do to Christianity today?
You're leading right into what I was going to say. You teed it up, bro. Everybody's ranting, raving, revival. Just so you know, revival is in the family to start. That's where God's working.
Yes.
Everybody wants some big thing to happen at a tent. And that happens. Yep. I'm not saying like those are good things. We need those things. They do work.
Yep.
But God wants revival in the marriages and in the homes.
Yes.
That's where he's doing it right now. So you got all these people that are all, here we go, talking about the earthquakes. When I hear about all these earthquakes now and people are texting me, what do you think about the end times and the earthquakes? What I think is happening is,
go love your family.
Go love your family. Because God is shaking things up. Yeah. Why? So the unshakable things remain. So focus on what he's shaking up in your life.
Yeah.
Why are you worried about it? That's something you need to give attention to.
And if it's something that worries you, give it over to God.
And yes.
Invite Jesus in.
Yes.
To heal it up. I mean, that's the one.
Now go through that. What would that sound like? Because maybe some people don't know how to invite Jesus into a situation. Ooh. Like, it's simple. Like, how would you do that?
It's funny because, my wife, she's been doing some inner healing stuff. And I tend to, like, I don't disagree with it.
Mm-hmm.
I always get nervous when we're, like, always focused on our problems.
Yeah.
Where I tend to more go, like, all right, what's the new promise that Christ has given me? And I focus on that.
Right.
And lean into him. So I think you can come at it in two different directions because what she's got out of it is awesome and it's beautiful and it's done a lot of good healing for her.
Because everybody's different and God's got them in different spots. Let's take, for example, your flight on the way home. When you're like, dude, I may not get there on Friday. I might not be back till Sunday, this flight and all this stuff. Was there a moment where, even if it was 8 hours later, where you're like, I need to invite God into this to give me some strategy. Like, what did that look like? Or did you just... What did that look like? How did you invite him into the problem to seek the solution that he already had in place?
I don't know. I didn't necessarily look to God for solutions to the problem. I looked to God for patience in the situation. Meaning, like, there was a lot of stuff going on where I was getting frustrated. And every 20 minutes, I'd get a notification.
Big bear frustrated.
Flights pushed back an hour. Flights pushed back an hour. I'm just sitting in the airport.
Yeah.
Like, I want to get the heck home.
Yeah.
And it's easy to fall into that, but it was like more so as like, I just continually, whenever I get the notification, it's just God, like, help me be patient.
Yeah.
It's not the end of the world. Nobody's dying. I'm just being very inconvenienced at the moment. Let me get out of my way here.
And ooh, just, you're stretching me right now.
It's like, life's not about me,
mm-hmm.
but yeah, I mean, yeah, I want to get home. I want to see my family. I want to be with my kids. God, just give me patience.
So I need to call you when I have stressful situations because that is not my go-to. And that's good. And everybody handles it differently. But I'm going to start using that a little bit more. Mm-hmm. I was not expecting you to say that. Thank you. That's good. Because what do you really need? You can't control the situation anyway.
Yeah, I don't work at Delta.
No. Like, nor will you ever now.
Nor will I ever. But yeah, it's like, and you come up with these situations. Like, I came up to the front desk at one point and I talked to this guy. I was like, look, I was flying first class. Flight got delayed. You kicked me out of first class now. I buy first class because I'm a big guy and I don't want to, you know, sharing shoulders with the next person because I don't want to take their
small
space.
Person's worst nightmare.
Right. I'm taking up your space in the plane seat. Like, I do this coach. Not just for me. I do this for you guys.
This dude's 6'7", 400 pounds, and you got the empty seat beside, and you're like, Lord, let him keep walking. And then you just throw your arm up in the overhead bin. And you're like, this flight is going to suck.
Yeah, and like, that came up to one point. I walked up to the welcome desk guy that was like about to put on her flight, and I'm like, hey, I just saw that there was an open first class. I was in first class before, and you guys bumped me out. Can I be put back in there? And he goes on, and he says, well, I don't have any records that you were in first class because everything got bumped and moved. I'm mm-hmm. like, are you serious? Like, I was like, I was frustrated because yeah. I paid for first class.
And it ain't cheap.
No. And I just remember him. He's like getting worked up. He's like, I'm sorry. I don't want to.
He started getting scared because you're so big.
Yeah, but he's like, I can't do anything about it. I'm sorry. And I'm like, it's okay, buddy. It's not your fault. Like, it has nothing to do with you. Like, but I think it goes to show, like, as we're out there walking, like, we can't just be forcing ourselves away for the sake of getting what we want.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I mean, I try to walk patiently in the things that I go.
Bro, you're teaching me right now.
But I'm just a big bear.
You are a big teddy bear. And I'm growing in that because my way of handling the stressful situations is, and I don't think one's right or one's wrong. I think we can combine things and, mm-hmm. and learn, in that is, let me do it this way. Actually, this is a way better story. We'll delete that part out because this one is way better. It actually happened in this room and I still see the thing there. So, there was, when I get frustrated, it's usually because God gave me the next step, but I didn't like it. Mm. And I want the next step. And God's like,
where are we going?
I gave you the next step and you're refusing to do it. And that's why you're frustrated. So when I get frustrated now, it takes me into the quiet place a little bit quicker. Okay. I'm not doing something that he already told me to do because he's not just leaving you to hang out and he's not just hanging you out to dry. Yep. God's always giving you the next step for whatever it is, but we don't like it. And that's where he shines. So I'm out here. My computer, I have two computers out here. My laptop. I need my laptop to do this next step. I'm finally like, today's the day I'm doing it. That thing will not work. This computer works. The iPads work. My phone works. I'm in the house resetting the modems, checking TVs, checking all the kids' laptops. Like, everything is working. And everyone's going to be like, why didn't you just use those other computers? I couldn't for this specific thing. It doesn't matter the technical side. I couldn't. It was on that computer. I end up staying out here because now I'm getting really ticked off. I'm slamming doors. Lindsay's like, something's going on with this dude today. Like, he's working through it. We're going to give him a little bit of space. And I go in the house and she's like, what is going on? I'm like, I am working through something right now. Just give me some space. This is about 2 hours. I'm acting like a little kid. Finally, and I'm like, I'm frustrated now. Like, I'm angry now. I'm not even frustrated. I'm just angry. And I look on my computer, and it's still sitting there, and there's this little bottle of anointing oil.
Hmm.
And the Lord was in that season, was teaching me about anointing oil. And for some reason, there was a little bottle there that my grandfather had gotten in Jerusalem. And when he died, it was in a box, and I ended up getting it and setting it.
Wow.
And I was just scanning right there, and literally, when I saw the anointing oil, I'm like, oh my gosh, I know better than this. And I grab the oil. I'm still frustrated now. And I just start anointing this room. I start anointing I anointed the phones. I anointed things. I'm like, whatever, God, you're teaching me something. I'm like, I might as well anoint myself. I'm like, I anoint myself. And I go and anoint the computer. And I'm not kidding you. The very second I did it, it goes, ding, the thing came up. I immediately, all anger, all frustration, everything that was not of God left me immediately, And I sat down on that couch right there. And I immediately was like repenting. And I just opened up my journal and I'm like, God, literally, I could show you the page. What the frick is going on? And it was just this feeling. God's like, don't you approach me like that. You better go talk to Jesus. I'm like, Jesus, what the frick is going on? I spent the next probably 15 to 30 minutes in the Bible just going through the names of Jesus, like in Revelation. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I am the first and the last. Like he was like leading me into like, here's who I am.
Yeah.
And then at the end, in the journal, after all of that, I just finally, Jesus comes, you calm down, you start, hey, repenting and give me the next strategy. And I just start going into all this stuff. I'm like, God, I can't do this. I don't know how to do this thing that you're calling me to do. My mind doesn't work that way. So either Holy Spirit, lead me or give me another assignment.
Yeah.
Give me something else. And literally the next thing I wrote down was, Jesus, what do I do next? Ask the helper. This is where it gets crazy. That's not even, is this story interesting?
Yeah.
Okay. Here's the crazy part. Literally ask the helper. I'm like, oh, John 14:26. I'm like, Holy Spirit, I need your help in this situation. My phone rings. A phone number I don't recognize. I don't answer from phone numbers I don't recognize.
Yeah.
For some reason, I answer it. Hey, Jordan, this is so-and-so from a specific place. We talked with you 2 weeks ago about a project you were doing. Yada, 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 yada. Where are you at with it? I'm like, actually, I need to do this thing that I was trying to do to get you the information that you need. My computer's now working. I go over there. I get the phone number. I call the person, and the next steps just start unfolding. For 2 hours, I ran around like an idiot, frustrated, wasting my time, until I finally invited God into it.
Mm.
Needed to get rid of some things, needed to learn a valuable lesson that day. And you would think that I am such an amazing son of God and so understanding that I, every time that there's a problem, I do exactly that. The answer to that is no. I do not do that every time. But I'm getting better at it. I'm getting better at, like, before we did it today, before we aired here.
Yeah.
And you said it today. Actually, you caught it before I did. Like, hey, dude, we need to just pray for a little bit here, and we just need to invite the Holy Spirit into this podcast. Like, we don't know what he's doing here. We prayed over the people listening, so we're getting better at it.
Yeah.
So there's a cool little testimony about in the middle of your frustration, just God's like, anointing oil.
talk about that a little bit, because I don't really necessarily care how people perceive it, but some people are going to perceive that and be like, oh, anointing oil. This guy's weird. Anointing oil. Was it so much the oil, or was it so much inviting God in the situation? Or was that just a symbol of, like,
the oil represents, the oil is the Holy Spirit. What is the oil? You hear about the oil all the time. The oil is the Holy Spirit.
Hmm.
So it's not the oil,
right?
But it is the representation of, I recognize that I need your help, Holy Spirit. And I'm submitting my flesh and my will and my mentality and my soul to you moving in this area.
Yeah.
Do you want a wild anointing oil story? I got another. You want another one? And this is all new to me in the last year. Now, I grew up around this stuff.
Mm.
My grandparents, my mom, like, this isn't stuff that I wasn't like, no, I didn't do it or really ask any questions.
Yeah.
So they did it and taught, but I didn't pay attention to it as a kid. And the Lord, in his wonderful ways, is like, well, I'm going to teach you the important things that you need to know about how to do life the way I designed you to do life. So after that, I started carrying a bottle of anointing oil with me.
Yeah.
And this one day, we get a phone call, Lindsay and I, from a little girl who's in the hospital who has cancer, really bad. And we had been praying with her a little bit, and she had called and just said, hey, it's just really bad day. Could you guys come up and just pray with us for a little bit? Like, yeah, sure, we'd love to. And went up and spent some time up there. And I get up there, we pray, Lindsay prays for a little while with this girl. We talk with the family, and it really was a beautiful evening. And the Lord just put on my heart, like, anoint this room.
Hmm.
I'm like, oh yeah. No, actually, I'm sorry. Before that, I knew the Lord said, bring the anointing oil. It just put on my heart, like, take the anointing oil with. And I put it in a bag, but I never took the bag with.
Yeah.
So when I got done, I'm like, I need to anoint everything. After we were praying, I didn't have the oil. I'm like, shoot. I'm like, well, I got to run home and get this. Like, I need to do this. And that was where I kind of learned about, like, you don't need that oil. I'm yep. like, I just need olive oil. I'm going down to the restaurant. So I go down there. I get a little lid for a soda. I'm like, they're like, what can we take your order? I'm like, I just need some extra virgin olive oil if you got it. She's like, what? I'm like, if you could just fill this Dixie cup with some oil, that'd be great. She's like, okay. So I'm walking through the halls carrying like a cup of oil. Like, people are like, this guy is in the nut. Like, man, you're in the wrong wing, dude. You're crazy. You need to be in the other wing. And I get up there in the room and I just, they're all talking. The Holy Spirit presence and the peace of God comes into the room. And I just start anointing things. I'm just going to go around and anoint stuff. So I go and I'm anointing things. I anoint the girl. I anoint the doors, just like God tells you to do in the Bible. I'm like, I don't know how to do this, Lord. Like, I'll just anoint stuff. 2 weeks later, get a phone call. A text message first and then a phone call. Hey, we moved rooms. And the last time you were here and you did that anointing thing, for the next 3 days, nothing bad happened. There was no talk of death. I mean, you're in a hospital with cancer. Like, that word comes up. There was nothing. But when we moved rooms, it's just everything kind of fell apart. Would you mind coming back and anointing? I'm like, Lord, I have no idea what I'm doing. Like, I'm literally like, oh man, I don't know. Like, I don't know what the heck I'm doing. Like, I'm not qualified to do this stuff. Like, sure, we'll bring somebody with. Isn't there a preacher up there or a chaplain? And so I go, because God doesn't care about your qualifications.
Yeah.
He cares if you make yourself available. Yeah. He cares if you yield to him and walk in a humble way.
Yeah.
And that's when he shows off. And went up there and did it again. And I would highly recommend anointing things.
It's good.
The places in your home where there is a lot of frustration, maybe it's in your bedroom, you and your husband fight all the time at night. But if you're in the kitchen having food, you're like not fighting. But the minute you get in your room, you fight. It's time for you to say a pretty strategic prayer. Invite the Holy Spirit in there, yep. Kick the devil out, bring the blood of Jesus over it, and anoint the windows and the door.
Yeah.
And consecrate that place. And here's what that prayer would sound like. I bring the full authority of Jesus. I'm going to close my eyes for this because this is just how it'll help me just to pray, because I want people to have a strategy if you feel it and you need to do that. You can do this with your car. You can do this with yourself, with your children. You can do this with anything. Dear God, Heavenly Father, I invite the Holy Spirit into this space. Guide me in this time of prayer. Right now, I bring the full authority of Jesus, the power of the cross, and the blood of Jesus Christ over my room, over my home, over my children, over my domain. I bind you, Satan, to the cross of Jesus for your judgment. And then at this place right here, I bind the spirit of, I'm going to leave it blank for you, anger, frustration, sexual immorality. Maybe there's some things happening behind the scenes that are ugly. I bind it right now. I bind these things, name them all off, to the cross of Jesus for judgment. Holy Spirit, I invite you in to fill this room, to fill this car, to fill my child, to fill me. We consecrate this place with the blood of Jesus. I anoint it, and then I just put a little cross over the doorways, over the windows, and I just go through the whole house. Pro tip, you really want it to take some serious, serious spiritual effect, you and your wife do it together. Extra pro tip, when your kids are old enough,
family time.
Family time anointing stuff.
Family worship.
And I can tell you right now, it works. It works. So
let's talk about, like, why do we share these things, Jordan? In this podcast, why are we sharing these stories?
Really to equip people. We want to equip you for if this something speaks to you, we want to give you some tools in your quiver to go and put the enemy out of your life, to walk with the Lord more wholeheartedly, to hear some of our stories and eventually other people's stories, and to know, like, there's always hope in Jesus.
Yeah.
There's always more restoration. He's in control. He knows your financial situation. He's not standing at the throne of God worried. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, just like I'm seated. Just like you're freaking out about that relationship with your spouse right now. Meanwhile, Jesus is sitting there like, I got this. I got this. And if it's not for you, I got this.
Yeah.
And I find a lot of peace in that. He ain't freaking out about earthquakes and solar eclipses.
Right.
He's like, watch how awesome I am. Watch what I created for you, this solar eclipse. I'm in control. That's what you should be thinking this week.
Thank God he is.
If he can do that, he can certainly move mountains in my life. He can certainly lead me out of this valley. Yeah. Give me some revelation.
Good. So what are your final thoughts?
Those were my final thoughts. Those were your final thoughts. What do you got?
I would go right alongside you there. We talked about it a little bit last week. I think our final thought was seek God in your situation.
Yeah.
And I think it's a continuation of that. It's now when you seek God and you see him, Robbie Gowden, you'll probably hear me mention this guy's name a lot. I mentioned him in the book last week. He had another book called Revive Us or Revival Now or something like that. And we talked about a little bit earlier about getting still and seeking the Lord.
Yeah.
And he said the way that he does it, he's a Southern Baptist preacher down in Tennessee. So it was kind of funny when I started hearing him talk about listening to the Spirit.
Yeah.
It's his first thing is like, oh yeah, guys, that Spirit, you know, the one we don't talk about that often, he's not weird.
Yeah.
You know, he's a very useful person.
Yeah.
Should get to know him. But he says, he started out just doing 5 minutes a night. And he would just sit there, open up in prayer, inviting the Spirit. And then he would sit there and go, be still and know that I'm Lord.
Mm.
And then he'd say, be still and know. Be still. And then just be silent for 5 minutes.
Ooh.
And just listen. That went on from 5 minutes to 15 minutes to 30 to an hour. He started doing 2 hours every night. And that was about a year or so before all of a sudden his church had this huge explosion of doing, I think they said in a couple weeks, he baptized over 1,500 people.
Wow. That's awesome.
Look up Robbie Gowden. I might have botched that story with the numbers and stuff, but very cool testimony of how God moved when he just got out of the way and just listened. And
so what would be a good, what's something you and I could do this week between now and the next podcast? And people that are listening, we'd encourage you to do whatever it is as well. what's just a little mini challenge that we could do? I love going to the prayer room at our church and just being in there for 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, whatever.
Let's tie two things together.
Okay.
One would be open up in prayer, get into a place, a prayer room, a place where you're not going to be constantly bombarded. Put your phone on silent for a little bit because every time that I pray, I get phone calls.
Yeah.
Every single time.
You better turn that thing off.
But so get somewhere silent.
So find your secret place.
And start off with 5 minutes this week and just open up in prayer. Listen, and then after your 5 minutes is up, and if 5 minutes goes easy, do 10, do 15, make some time for God, and then pull open a journal, whether it's a yellow notepad, and just start writing down. And if you didn't hear anything, just start writing down what you thought about.
Yeah.
You know, what was going through my head? Were they worries? Was I confident about things? Did I feel in the presence of God? And then start praying against or with or into those things.
Yeah.
On your next one, be like, all right, God, I was really anxious about this the whole time. Reveal to me why. Reveal my heart. Show me why. And start working your way through those things. And let it build. Because at some point, you're going to have all these list of things, and it's going to go from, I can't do this in 5 minutes. I need 10.
Yeah.
I need an hour. I need an hour.
I've done four. Because once you get there, you're like, oh my gosh, he does speak. Can I make one little tweak? I guess I'll just sum it up. So here's your work for this week. Number one, identify your secret place, distraction-free space. If you don't have that available in your home, find a local church that you can do that. You can email jgood@beyondtheoutpost.com, and we will give you a list of churches. You go to Fairland.
Yep.
In Anvil.
Yep.
We go to Lifeway in Lebanon. Those places are open for things like this. And there are other churches as well. Second, when you go to that secret place, take with a journal and your Bible. Start by inviting the Holy Spirit in. Write down some questions of where you want him to talk to you. And stay there with him. And he'll identify them for you. And write everything down. And if you have a cool testimony by next Friday, email it to us. Or some of you have our phone numbers. You could text us. We'd love to hear it and share some of your guys' testimonies because we are going to dig into the topic of testimonies next week. Yes. How to do it. Why do we do it?
Yeah.
Where's the freedom in your testimony? Ooh-wee. How do you lead people to Christ through your testimony? We're going to dig into all of that next week.
Heck yeah.
So thank you for listening. This was a little bit longer podcast, and I think we covered some really good topics. Please like it. Please share it to your friends. Please share it on social media. Please click subscribe, because that does help us to, one, identify, is this thing moving forward? And also some other things that we're working on that we're going to expand into. We want the community to know about it as we unravel those things.
Heck yeah.
I'm glad you're home. What's your nickname?
Nickname?
Do you have a nickname?
CJ.
That's your nickname?
That's my nickname.
All right. Big teddy bear.
No.
I call you TB.
No.
CJTB.
Nope.
I'm glad you made it home safe. I'm glad you're going to get some time with your family and your little girls. And yeah, I'm excited for this testimony topic next week.
Heck yeah.
Cool. All right, buddy.
Cool.
We're done for the day.